cliffcentral.com.
Yeah. Beautiful track by Tom Misch, especially on a day like this when the sun is definitely not shining. Welcome to it. It's another Thursday between 11 and 12. You're listening to the weekly mashup with myself, Dimisha Masha, and my lovely greenhead co-host,
Candace Mama. Hey, T, how are you doing?
I love the wheels that you came in today.
Oh my gosh, how disgustingly new money is it?
I love new money.
Disgusting.
Especially like, you know what, you got to own new money. You got to own it like you own new money.
You know what I mean? It's just so trashy, like new money.
No, there's nothing trashy about it.
You know what the problem
there's
is?
There's nothing trashy about
like
it. I love it.
The problem with new money, it does. But you know what the problem with new money is?
Uh-huh.
Is that you take something that's perfectly beautiful the way it is and you go fuck it up with your need to flash.
That's what I would do.
But you got a nice car and you did not do anything to it, which I'm loving.
It's actually a fiscal issue.
So it's a fact that there is no new money right now.
No, right now. But I'm planning to put a woofer in that car. In the boot of that car, I'm trying to put a woofer in there. And then I'm trying to black out the rims.
Oh,
I need my windows tinted a little bit more.
No, you know what? In my area where I stay in Remsoch, it's just full of new money.
Yeah.
And there's a goal.
Yeah, Remsoch is like new money
central.
Heaven. Yeah.
And there's a gold. Like I'm telling you, like proper gold X6. It was so beautiful before they made it gold.
Yeah.
And then there's like a leopard print car. And I'm like, why are you guys fucking up a beautiful car?
I don't know if it's new money or it's just like all the Afrikaners that also live there.
No, that's our people.
So basically,
that's our people.
It's new money blacks and those middle class Afrikaners. What a beautiful mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they drive like a polo.
Wait. They also drive like those Fortuners and those Hiluxes with like scuba. You know what? When I see someone drive those Hiluxes and Fortuners, I know we're not going to get along. I just know it.
And I shouldn't say this because I'm friends with a lot of housewives.
Exactly.
Bless them. And their husbands have bought them Fortuners.
I see a woman in a Fortuner, and I'm going to be specific, a white woman in a Fortuner, I just know things are not going to go well.
Those
between
are my
us.
Friends, though.
Yeah.
Those exactly. are my friends.
They would be, wouldn't they? So there was there was another march yesterday. I don't know if you went to that one. Did you make it?
I didn't make it.
You seem like you're very passive about this.
No. I went to the other march on Bayers Nordia. Yes.
When? On Friday.
On Friday.
Zuma must go.
I had
Zuma
to. It was too much
Zuma
of a vibe for
go.
Me to miss. Everyone can judge it, but when you're in it, it's amazing. When you are doing the go, and someone has to tell you when to stop saying oh, I mean that's a
like,
turn up.
I don't see him being particularly like either upset or even scared.
He
by
isn't.
That. I think he just like laughed because
he's
our giggling president. So he's like,
did you watch his birthday? You didn't watch his birthday celebration last night. No, he was there. He made a speech and everything, and in his speech, he let us know that it is our right to march.
Like, go ahead,
it actually killed me.
Like,
he's like, you know what? It's actually, I'm so proud. He's so proud of the people that they actually, you know, marching. I love how he's not acknowledging why.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I've been called names before. This is nothing new to me.
Like, there's a post going out, a meme. Oh, I should gotta get this
old
right.
Old age, man.
There's a meme going out where like there's a laughing president, right? And he's like, our president is boss. He even got white people to strike.
Dude. And you know, can I tell you, it's actually such a foreign policy.
Yeah.
Like when all else failed us at the march, this is what you would hear. And then I'd be like, why are we clapping?
Yeah.
And it's just like when all else fails you, when all the anthems have gone, like 1, 2, 3, 4, we want Zuma out the door.
Wow, that's like a
5, 6, 7, 8, we will not negotiate. I was like, thank you, Mama, for taking me to white schools.
Wow.
I know what a war cry feels like.
Yeah. You're like, I'm at one of those swimming galas, those compulsory ones that you
so
didn't
funny.
Want to go to.
Oh,
and
yes.
then you had to sing as well. It's like, I already didn't want to be here, now I got to sing too.
And then there was a leader, right? So when I was there, I was only there for like an hour or so.
Uh-huh.
And we had a leader. So I was so hopeful because he was this black guy. He had quite a body, you know, like he was burly.
He's like, yeah, Oaks, listen.
No, he didn't even have the accent.
Oh.
So I was like, he's legit. He's serious about his life. He knows what we're going to do. We're going to be singing struggle songs. So then, like, he started off so well. Panzi, no Zuma, Panzi. Yes. Panzi. Then everyone would be like, Panzi. Yeah. And then he ran out of steam.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, now we just like, he's like, when I say Zuma, you say go. And then I was like, ah, no, man. No, man.
Are you there? Remsich, are you there? Now scream.
Yes. I felt like someone was going to pass us the mic.
When I say Zuma, you say go. Zuma.
Go. Zuma. Go. It was a special occasion. I just feel like for the next march, all of us should go to like a camp.
An archive.
And we must actually learn old struggle songs like Azania. Like, I mean, when the People's Bass sang Azania, it took my mom back to when my dad would sing that song.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is power.
Can
this
you
is
sing
what
it? Not really. Just like give us
Don't be putting me on the spot like that.
All right.
You know I'm good at Malay dancing.
I'd like to see white people like just singing Senzenina, Senzenina, Senzenina.
If only that was their one song.
Senzenina. I think Zuma's got to stay in power just a little bit longer.
Just
until you get to that point.
I think so.
Because it starts with the hush, hush, hush. Hush.
Hey, and you know,
gorilla, hush.
And
then you get to a point where you sun out, and all you can do is just Senzenina.
But that's the thing. Our people have so much soul, right? Like when I say our people, I mean black people and people of color. We just have this innate thing.
That includes you two colored people and Indians.
Yeah. So when I say people of color, I'm just saying all of y'all. So I'm just, you know, we just then innately, I don't know if I want to call it spiritual.
Although I've never seen an Indian person doi doi. I just gotta put it out there.
Yeah, but it was silent marches like Mahatma Gandhi, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, all of us have our forms and ways.
Yeah.
But you know, we're just the people of like South African or African people. We're just the people of dance. And we need, when we say certain things in vernacular, you can't translate it to English because it's got so much more power.
Untranslatable.
Is you right? Like Senzenina. That is so powerful. It gives you chills. And then it's like, what have we done? Hi. It just doesn't give
what
you that same.
What have we done?
Senzenina. You, maybe if we do a little collaboration, old duette, you know. Yeah. Danny Kay needs to come out again and give us a song we can sing at protests.
Danny Kay's got questionable
Danny
rhythm.
Kay and Mdu.
I love Danny
no,
Kay.
No, shit. Mandoza's gone. Hey, Shadis.
But
rest
I love, you know, I love Danny, right? He's my, when I say some of my best friends are white, it's him and that other guy.
Oh, no.
Whichever guy is my best friend at that time. Throw in a third.
Whichever, like, interchangeable other white person you can
exactly.
find.
There
is
you
what
go.
Saying?
Whichever interchangeable white person. So, you know, he's one of my best
I've got,
white friends.
He's that guy you throw into a debate when you don't want to sound racist.
Exactly. Like
I've got white friends.
Yeah.
Danny Kay.
Danny Kay.
You're like, I can call Danny right now.
Yeah.
Hey, T, I haven't spoken to you
in years. The last time we hung out
and
I was at his house, we were doing Top Billing. I was the host and he was the guy I was interviewing. But we were like friends because it felt real. Okay? It felt real.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Anyway, I love him, but he's just like his rhythm, man.
You know,
he's like next to the rhythm.
But
that's that
no, but we need like maybe a little prime, so like bring in like a really white group and then bring in like Ringo Madlingos, like bring in two very opposite people and let them create like a war cry for us, man.
Okay.
And no one paid by the ANC, preferably. Preferably speaking. But anyway, T, let's leave politics before we're out of employment real soon.
No.
Before
we'll
your
be
new
out of
money
employment.
Becomes because stale money.
This new money. No, I can't say who gave me the new money. I cannot tell you.
I am not political party affiliated. I just want to state that.
You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you. Cause
well, some of us are protesting.
It came from everywhere.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
My new money comes from white
Yay.
Monopoly capital as much as it does from the transforming people.
Okay.
So
let's not put you on the spot. Let's not put you on the spot. So yes, I think let's move on to our next topic, which is my status. I'm sorry. I know we're going to get into our top three exercise lifestyle.
We're going to do that. And we're going to be talking to, I mean, I think people must know.
We've
got someone special in the studio today.
Very special.
That we're going to be talking to in a couple of minutes.
And very inspirational.
Very
inspirational. Just put that in there?
Yeah.
And pretty. Because sometimes people associate like inspirational people with being unattractive.
No, you know, like, of course she has to be inspirational. Like she's got nothing else going for her. Okay.
So she's pretty. She had a choice in this.
Yeah. She chose to be inspirational. She didn't have to be. She could have just had a blessing. And you don't need to be inspirational when you have a blessing. You're already inspired.
Oh, wow. The things
Girl,
we
you
say.
Girl, you inspire yourself.
The things we say. Okay, so actually what happened to me today, you know Facebook will like sometimes tell you you've got memories, right? Yeah. So usually I really hate them. memories. Because, I mean, I got Facebook when I was in grade 9, right? So, I mean, I was still very young, 14, 15, round about there. So, it was like
that
almost
was
10 years ago.
Ago.
Right? Yeah. But then it also shows you how
ago,
stupid.
You
like,
oh my gosh.
No, the problem with Facebook memories, it just shows you how stupid you were back then. Like, oh, like I cringe at how I spoke. I would write is, I-S with a Z. Like, who does that?
Because you were trying to be cool.
I was trying to be cool.
Only, like, you were a teenager.
I was 15. It was just tough.
You were only 15 back then?
It's tough.
Wow.
It's tough.
That's so cute.
You know, to be Candace now, you got to have been Candace then. And Candace then was not a good sight.
Yeah. Look at Candace now.
You're like, not much has improved.
So why did you write back then? Let's hear you.
No. So this is actually, this morning I wake up and I get a Facebook reminder. So I look, and this was from 2014. Now, everyone knows 2014 was the year that I made headlines and my life really started to change. So 2014, April, right? I wrote that as I delve deep into my own spiritual journey, I'm starting to discover how to apply certain principles. Today's principle is forgiveness. So I used to think that forgiveness meant going to the person who hurt you and telling them you forgive them. Taking my lesson from nature, however, I can liken forgiveness to being bitten by a snake. You can understand that it's in a snake's nature to attack. Therefore, you don't hold a grudge against the snake.
But you kick its head in.
You just don't go back blindly as you did prior.
When do you get to kick its head in?
Hold on.
Okay.
As for the venom, you have to suck it out and treat it so that you heal. That is what forgiveness is to me. It is learning not to carry around that venom, anger, hurt, and pain, but rather treating it and learning from it. Then I said, happy Sunday. So this was 2014, April.
Okay.
2014, September, our family gets a call from the NPA. And God is like, you know what? Since you were talking all high and mighty about forgiveness, let's just test this little theory of yours.
Yeah.
And of course, that's when I ended up meeting Eugene de Kock, and that's how I ended up extending the branch of forgiveness to him. But I just thought, how ironic, you know. So for me, this actually taught me or showed me today that it's so hard not to believe in destiny sometimes, or a preordained path, if you will. Because, I mean, there's no ways in April would I have known that later that
this
year.
Is coming.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
No one would have told me or prepared me that.
I better be careful what kind of grandiose statements I make then.
That's what I thought.
Gosh.
I was like, oh,
you
man.
You're trying to be nice.
Power, it like the power lies in the tongue. What you say will manifest.
That's a biblical principle.
And if you are not ready.
Believe it or not.
No, I know. I mean, I take my principles from the Hindu faith, Muslim faith,
okay.
Christian faith, everywhere. But all I'm saying is that, you know, be careful what you say, because it will manifest in your life. So if you don't want it to come to pass, don't be saying it.
Mm.
You know, so I just found that beautiful. Even though it's self-inspired.
2017 is the year that I make enough money to buy that Lamborghini Aventador S. That's the only one I want.
And painted gold. Yes.
It's either going to be green. Gold is not a bad color, though. Something that people will see.
Yeah.
Look,
when
already,
they see it, they're going to be like,
They're already staring at me. They stare at me when I'm at the mall, okay? I may as well be driving in a gold Lamborghini that you can hear from like 5 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. Manifest that.
And it's going to be fighting against the huge, massive sound system that I'm going to put in there. That's going to make the car so heavy, I can't even take it to
but
the track.
But can I tell
but
you?
It doesn't matter.
Lamborghinis are uncomfortable. But okay. No, you
matter.
Do you, boo. You do you.
Oh, you know, because you've been driving around. Where were you going? To Cape
you know
Town
what?
In a Lamborghini?
You know what? I know friends in high places, man.
I'm just going to that mall, like
just getting
shopping
in it
center.
Getting in it and out of it is so not glamorous, like
know,
you get taught all this crap,
right?
No.
and a squat is difficult, and like you gotta squat out
even if you're lightweight
to hold on to it. Yeah.
Because the door's all the way out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the door's out there.
like, even when you're just like a lightweight,
is
just
it?
Getting out is not convenient.
Yeah.
Now you got to be like, now you're thinking people are staring because it's a Lamborghini.
It's just crawling out.
Now you got to, exactly.
Okay, so
exactly.
I hope this power of the tongue, because you said that other stuff and that's what happens.
Yes.
So, you know.
No, I think it'll manifest. No, amen to that.
Amen,
we will do
hallelujah.
That.
Hallelujah. Aventador-esque. Coming your way.
In green. Mm-hmm. So then we actually came up with 3 principles, right? This is something so unrelated to what I just spoke about, but I guess it's also life lessons.
It is, because actually what we came up with for today was, you know, we have our life lessons every week.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's life lessons, which
came from?
Are brought to you proudly by Candy. She's the one who came up with them this week. Is what are they? You tell us.
Okay, so we actually decided that it was going to be 3 life lessons on exercise, what you learn from exercise. Or,
okay.
And I confess to you that I actually want to be after I said all those things about forgiveness, people are like, she is not very forgiving. Yeah. So I want to actually enter my very first cage fight, UFC, or not UFC, because that's abroad, but yeah, you know, I want to do my first MMA. Ours is
nothing affiliated.
Yeah, I think ours is very local.
Are you ready for a blood nose?
You know, that's what my coach keeps telling me. He's like, you know, you got to forego your pretty ass face if you want to. And I was like, you know, I lived a very large portion being ugly. Like, I can
you can
do
go
it.
Back there.
I can do it. Like, it ain't no thing. Like, ain't nothing but a chicken wing. Like, it's all good.
Just keep working on that personality because you're going to need it.
No, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I think that when you fight, or when you're a boxer, or when you're learning techniques to get into a cage with someone, they're very crucial things that you have to empower yourself with before you can even think about entering the ring. Mm. So the first lesson that I learned is that the fight is won in the mind long before you enter the cage.
That's right.
If you go in there with a defeatist attitude, trust me, they're going to kick your ass. You're right. Mm. That's life. That's anything. If you go into anything preparing to be defeated, life will give you exactly what you're expecting.
One of my favorite sayings is, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yes.
So that's it, right?
Yes. Okay. So you have to really get your mind right before you get into the cage.
And get ready.
And yeah, some people will call it arrogance, or some people will call it whatever, but you need to call it into your life, or else, yeah, you'll see.
The best fighters were arrogant. Muhammad
Ali. Exactly. Conor McGregor right now. Yeah, he's one of the best UFC fighters we've got.
Even what's his name? Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather. Comes across as arrogant, but he's confident, yeah.
Who's the first guy who knocked out Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson used to be known as the one-minute man. Buster Douglas. Mm. Buster Douglas went in that ring and he knocked Mike Tyson the fuck out, and everyone was like, Mike is undefeated.
Was probably a little bit hungover at the time.
No, because you know that story, the Buster Douglas story.
I just know that Buster got a lucky shot and he knocked.
Okay, so what happened with Buster was, Buster Douglas, right, was
single
set
father.
To fight. Yeah. No, he was set to fight, what's his name?
Someone else.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He was set to fight Mike Tyson. And his mother, preparing for the fight, Buster's mother would say to everyone at the hair salon, my baby's going to knock Mike Tyson out. Mm. And Buster would be like, but mama, you can't say that to people. Like, now you're going to be embarrassing me like that. This is the 1 minute man. Like, he's going to knock me out.
Yeah.
And Buster's mother would keep saying it every day. Then eventually what happened was, 2 days before the Mike Tyson fight, Buster's mother passed away. Yes. So he enters the ring and Buster's like, I'm still going to fight because my mother expects me to fight. You know, like, I can't not be in this fight. And that's what motivated Buster. He said that because Mike Tyson hit him in the first round and he was not going to rise because everyone was like, he's gone. And luckily he was saved by the bell, right? He came back. He gave Mike Tyson a run for his money because he says in his mind, all that kept on going was, my baby's going to knock Mike Tyson out.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Power of the mind.
So power of your mom's words.
Right? Yeah. Because he was replaying that in his mind constantly that I can't let my mother go down like this.
Yeah.
So yes, so that's lesson number one.
Okay.
Lesson number two, you need to want it more than you are lazy about it or that you fear it.
So it's like discipline. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Yeah, because you know, no, actually, that's a lie. I don't think it's anything like that. Can I just clarify?
I've tasted a lot. But being skinny, it feels amazing.
It feels good, but I mean, it doesn't taste.
Being in the shape of your life is like,
it's amazing.
You'll forgo that whatever, that cheesecake, that beautiful craft beer, because it's like, this six pack feels so good.
And everyone tells me how good I look, right? Yeah. So you are living off that that high of how people perceive you. But yes, you need to want it more than you are afraid of it. And that means discipline. Mm-hmm. You need to be disciplined. You need to wake up in the morning. You need to eat right. You need to be at practice, because for every time you are doing that, someone else who's planning on defeating you is also doing the same thing. So like,
you best believe, especially if you're stepping into the ring.
Exactly.
You better be scared that the other person doesn't sleep. They're just working on beating the
crap
out of
you. And you need to believe that, because Will Smith said once that if he's on a treadmill with someone, he will never quit. It's either that person is getting off first or he's dying on the treadmill. Will Smith is dying on the treadmill. And that's the kind of determination you need to have, or else you're going to be defeated. As soon as you think that, oh, I'm good enough because your coach tells you, or your family tells you, someone else out there is training harder.
I heard Will say that, by the way, and I was like, I'll never go on a treadmill. I don't want to die.
Don't do that.
That's not my portion.
Exactly. All right. So lesson number
one. Died on a treadmill. Trying to run against Will Smith. No, I'm dying in a Lamborghini. I'm not dying anywhere. I'm kidding. Power of the word. By the way, right. I'm just getting a Lamborghini. And I'm just going to drive it until the Lamborghini dies. Not me.
So lesson number one was all about mind power in life, in everything. Yeah. Discipline in life, in everything.
Okay.
You got to want whatever it is, whatever your goal is, yeah. You have to want it. And then the third one ties very closely to the second one. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation.
All right.
So this basically means that
Gary Player once said that,
right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think, oh, you're so lucky, you got a lucky mm-hmm. break, but you have to prepare for your lucky break to come at any yeah. moment. Yeah. Because when you get that knock on the door and someone says, this Rhonda Housley's ready to fight you, and this is going to be a career making moment for you, okay. You cannot be like, oh, can we reschedule for next week? Yeah. No, her time is Friday.
Yeah, I'm kind of ready right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's how opportunities miss us, because we are not ready for the opportunities when they come knocking.
Get ready.
Exactly. In life and everything, you've got to be ready.
Well, I'm going to tell you my top three life lessons during the course of the show, because I don't want to keep the people waiting, because right now I think it's a very exciting moment. We've got someone I've been wanting to talk to for some time on this show, because really she's going to give you something that you can't get anywhere else. And, you know, it ties in with what I was going to say as well, because my first life lesson is basically we're all beggars sitting on a beach of gold. Which means we all have amazing opportunities. We all should be doing more than what we're doing with what we have. But sometimes you need to look across and see that if you think you're struggling, there's someone who's got a bigger struggle than you. And sometimes your struggle is there to help someone, to lift someone else. And if you think of your struggle in that way, then it doesn't become a struggle anymore. It just becomes something, an opportunity for you to be victorious. So that's my first life lesson about exercise. But nonetheless, in the studio right now, I'm just like looking for that applause.
Applause, baby.
That applause track, damn it. Okay. Well, you know, we'll find it while we talk. Right.
I will do the applause.
In the studio. Yeah. Why don't you clap? In the studio is Kristen.
Woo!
Joy.
Woo!
Middleton.
Yeah!
Get ready to rumble. How you doing? How you doing, Joy?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
So tell me something. You were born in the 90s, right?
Yes.
Around about when?
91,
22nd. Oh, we're the same.
Oh, okay.
22nd, I'm the 18th.
Wow.
All the best people are born in August.
Right.
All right, so basically your parents were listening to Soul, that joy is a new sensation, new vibration, rocking. They were young then, right?
I think it would have been really weird if I knew what song.
Yes.
My parents were listening
some things
to,
are best unknown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to have you in the studio. I still can't find... Where's my clap trap? Okay, it's gone. Doesn't matter.
The moment is gone.
We just move on. The moment is gone. Welcome to the studio. You have an amazing story, by the way. Speak closer into the mic. Love the mic. Make it your friend. Touch the mic, yeah. And your story is quite interesting. But before we get into your story, I just want to know, like, where are you from? In South Africa.
For now, I'm from Jacobsdal. Jacobsdal.
It's
from Jacobsdal.
It is funny to interview an Afrikaans praat as jy wil.
Ja, maar dan moet ons ordentlik Afrikaans praat. Suiwer Afrikaans.
Suiwer Afrikaans. Ek kan nie suiwer Afrikaans praat nie. Ek kan straat Afrikaans praat.
Okay.
Even you're like, I can't help you with that.
No.
Okay,
no.
Cool. So you're from like the Free State?
Yes.
Wow.
Free State. Yeah.
And what was it like growing up in the Free State? Was that where you grew up?
No, actually, I am originally from Polokwane, Limpopo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anywhere where there's like people who drive Hiluxes and Fortuners, you're like comfortable.
At the Stassen.
Yeah.
Stassenala. Yeah, okay. Definitely. Yeah, so I traveled a lot. Every second year, we'd move to a new place.
Okay.
So from grade 1 to grade 5, I attended 8 schools. That is how crazy it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you just getting expelled a lot?
I wish.
No, you're not that badass.
No, I'm not.
You're just your parents were moving.
Yeah, we moved around a lot, and it was a great experience. It was a lot of exposure, you know, and I realized that different cultures and being around a whole lot of other people that, like, I wasn't supposed to be around or I didn't expect to be around.
Yeah.
Like, that added so much to me. But, I mean, you can look at a situation both ways. You know, you can take the negative from it and be like, I am unstable now because I had an unstable childhood. Or I am stable because I was exposed to so many things.
Yeah. Power of the mind.
Yeah.
Perception.
Exactly.
But the thing is, your father is a boor. Not in the sense that he's like Ipunu, but he's a boor because he's a farmer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As a Kuliburgi. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you get all your curry powder from. Like, people are also feeling fresh and like, no, I get my curry powder from India. No, you don't. You get it from us.
Yeah. You get it from our farm.
And Jakob's doll.
Yeah. And Jakob's doll. So what does he farm?
Lucerne, actually.
That's like what cows eat.
Yes, it's animal feed.
Okay.
See? Yeah.
I'm not fancy just things. A pretty face.
I was like, wow, well done. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, you were still thinking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I make smoothies with it. It's really healthy.
Is it tasty though?
Not okay, really. What does it help with? Let's just put it out there. Like, what are the health
probably
benefits?
Probably your movement issues. You're not
movement.
Moving.
Yeah. Like bowel movements?
Yes.
Oh, fiber. Yeah. Fiber. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good for like your digestive system and energy. Like anything green is healthy, and especially if you eat it like that raw.
Yes.
I mean, we just go to our backyard and pick it. And
well, isn't that amazing?
Put it in a blender. So.
Oh, because it's expensive to be healthy, eh? Sometimes that stuff.
Joe.
And you go to the health food store, they'll take that, they'll bottle it and sell it for $200.
Yeah.
You're like, but
Joe.
Yeah.
But for it too. Let me tell you, man, black people, like this panting thing. Like, okay, like a shebo, boss. You know shebo?
Yes.
It's like, it's shebo like is like what you eat with the actual food.
With the
like
carbohydrates.
With the carbohydrate.
Yeah.
All I'm eating is shebo.
Yeah, because you can't really eat anything else. Because
you know
anything
saying?
Else that's banting friendly is going to cost you your house.
Exactly.
So it's like,
dang.
It is so true.
Yeah. But anyway, you are here in the studio with us today. Not because we
just because
your father
inspirational.
And your father's a farmer. And
because
like we love to hear about black farmers.
And people, I'm sure,
it's possible.
Thinking, yeah, I'm sure people are just thinking that, oh, she's inspirational because she moved so many times.
Yeah.
Now we must be inspired that even if you move too many times, you'll be fine. But no. You've
but
got
you're an overcomer.
Story.
You have overcome. You are victorious.
Yes.
Here you are sitting with us, walking around, doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Explain to us what life was like about a year ago for you.
I moved to America in 2015 and I was an au pair and loving my job, and I was this fitness freak. And then I started feeling like joint pains and, you know, weird things. So I went and I got tested, and on the 17th of August, my results came back, and they just called me and they were like, hey, listen, your blood test came back positive for lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm like, what the hell?
Wow.
And like being dyslexic on top of it, like I didn't know how the hell to spell either of those lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, shut.
Like it just sounds
now
like
what?
Shit. Can I speak this into?
And I kept on asking Siri, and Siri's like, fam. Like,
I don't know that.
Like, I think and you know, a lot of us don't really know what lupus is until we know somebody who's got it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a hectic disease. Just, I mean, tell us a bit about what does it do? What is it about? What's going on with that?
So I thought it was just like a little flare-up, as they say. And then on my birthday, I stopped walking, like completely. And I had severe nerve damage. That tested me for, and I had about 70% nerve damage from my knees down to my toes.
Wow.
And it just happened like suddenly, you know, and although I couldn't feel physical touch, I was in the world of pain. Like, it was ridiculous. And I had no idea what was going on with me. And, you know, I had 7 specialists, and this is all in America. I had 7 specialists on my case. And
I've
nobody
learned that
knew
American
what was going on.
Doctors are not always that good. I dislocated my knee in LA, and I went to the Lakers doctor, and he was like, you'll be fine. You'll be running in 2 weeks. I came to South Africa, they had to operate. But anyway, I'm just saying, this is aside.
Well, it took 7 specialists. So.
Yeah, so it took 7 American specialists.
Shit,
and then you came home and they were like, you got lupus. Well,
most of them were Indian though.
Oh. Were in America or here?
Yes, in America.
Oh.
So I was like, yes, my people. I've
gone to your people.
Yeah. They got my best interest at heart.
Yeah, so then I left America with the idea that, you know, in 30 days' time, I will be fine and I'll be walking again. And I come back to South Africa and they're like, you know, like this is going to be a long road. And doctors kept on telling me I should get comfortable in my wheelchair. And, you know, I had to go for physio and I had to learn how to walk again. And now I'm a 24-year-old learning how to walk again. It was extremely frustrating.
This is the thing that I always find interesting about the medical profession, because if you don't have a very strong mind, a very strong spirit, you can like, you can literally die at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like saying, listen, oh, we got bad news.
Yeah.
That's
actually going to die.
True.
And when all those doctors are telling you you're going to die, who the hell are you who can't even spell lupus? embarrassed to say you are not going to, right? Yeah. How do you, because, you know, to get out of that, you have to literally get yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. You know.
But I think it's so important to highlight what you just said, that it is so easy sometimes we accept, right?
Yeah.
We are told by someone who says, I'm a professional, I'm an expert in this. Yeah. And most people will just accept it and just go into themselves. So it's so important to highlight. Don't always take what you're told, man.
Yeah.
And if I can share on that as well, I mean, financially as well, I always find that, you know, the worst people to listen to are the financial experts, especially when your finances are down.
Honestly, they'll make you feel like you're going to die broke.
Yeah, they'll make you feel like you will never come back again. Yes. And actually, what you need at that time is you need people around you who are going to make you feel like this is just one of those things. It's a phase. Mm. It's part of life. Because actually, my second part of what I was going to say is sometimes we get so comfortable that we die. In fact, comfort is a killer.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
Because when you stop being hungry, you get fat. Mm. And when that happens, you start to die very slowly. But here's the thing, right? If you see life as a series of challenges that are going to come your way to help you grow, and all of them are just there, like when you're exercising.
Yes, yes.
If you are in the gym and you're comfortable, trust me, nothing is happening. Nothing. Mm. You are wasting your time.
Yeah.
You got to be in there sweating, farting, ready to throw up, and feeling terrible.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're on the right track.
Yeah,
so with you, when this thing happened, like boom, life hits you with a train, right?
Yeah.
You have a choice right there. Do I just roll over and die, or do I get up and do something about this?
And I think having my mom by my side and like coming from such a strong family, because my mom was like, whatever the doctors say, listen, but don't accept it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you accept it, you're crippling yourself.
Yes.
Like I was physically crippled, but like my spirit man was like, I'm getting out of this, you know? And like I've always been a fighter, and I've always been like one of those against the odds type of people. So I was like, I'm not going to let this defeat me. And I'd gotten a pair of heels for my birthday, and I wasn't even able to fit them on. And then, yeah, so that was my motivation, like putting my heels out and being like, I'm going to wear these heels again, no matter who says what. Like, I could frak mooi bene gehad, so ek gaan my bene nou weer terugkry. Like, I had to work like, so hard for that.
She had legs that
for
were
days.
For days.
The best legs.
Yeah. No. So she was going to wear her heels.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That was the English. You wanted it in Tswana as well?
Yeah.
But
no,
isn't that it? You had to see something in the future. Like you said it as one of your first ones,
yes.
Right? What was your first life lesson?
Mind. The battle is won in the mind.
Is my one in the mind, right? So you got to see the victory.
Yeah.
You got to see yourself wearing those shoes to get out of that
exactly.
wheelchair.
And I mean, our brains work in pictures.
Mm.
And after this whole lupus experience, I decided to be a life coach. Mm. And I studied that and learning about pictures. I mean, if you just create a picture in your head and you have dream charts, you know, my mom has a lot of dream charts and I'm just like, oh, man, this is whack. This is like, who even uses magazines these days? But I see how much it has changed her life. And then I started doing it, and I see how much it changes in my life. Yeah. So,
and some people
you only
will
become
fight
what
against
you visualize. Sorry,
no, go see.
You only become what you visualize.
No, but that is so true, because it's so important, because sometimes, you know, people can get stuck in a rut and your situation is very exceptional. It is huge, you know, because a lot of people at 24, a lot of people are like, you're too young to have certain qualities and characteristics.
Yeah.
And you said that I am going to do this regardless of what these people double, triple my age are telling me, that they've been in this industry, never seen anything like it, whatever. Mm. I'm going to overcome it.
Mm.
And that's why your story is powerful. So if you are saying that vision boards and dream charts work, then I feel like people really need to take note of this, that this is something that is proven to work.
Yeah.
It's not a theory. It's proven.
And I think also setting the right goals, you know, like in the beginning of the year, all our goal list is
lose weight
and
stop drinking because I got the terrible hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you've got to sit back and say, but is this inspirational? Is this going to touch somebody's life? You know, and I was listening to a talk show about it, and the guy was like, think about when you set your goals, think about what breaks your heart. It's not somebody that lost 10 kgs.
Or driving a Lambo.
Or picked up 10 kgs or driving a Lambo. Oh, shade. Yeah, it's
you're not getting a
deep
ride.
And meaningful things.
Mm.
And yeah, like there's a lot of people that limit you to your age, and they're like, oh, you're 25, so like you probably just don't have a brain, or oh, you're a pretty face, so you probably can't really think
much.
And
know?
That was so difficult for me, because people would walk past me in my wheelchair, because I was in a wheelchair for 11 months.
Wow.
And they'd walk past me and be like, oh, Shem, you're so pretty and you're in a wheelchair. I'm like, so what, pretty people don't have struggles? You know, and like there was a point where I got so angry with people being around me because people see me and be like, oh, can I pray for you? And I'm just because my struggles are visible doesn't mean that you Amen. Are better off
yeah.
than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You know, you just seeing yeah. me struggle because I'm sitting in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
And even people that treated me differently, I was like, there's nothing different about me. I just sit more than other people do.
Mm.
But that doesn't take, a wheelchair doesn't take away from the person that I am. And I really had to work on my personality and who I am, because immediately people limited me to the girl in the wheelchair. Oh, pretty girl in a wheelchair. And yeah, I definitely needed to work on me, because for a long time I counted on my looks and I was like, but this isn't going to last. You know, it's shallow. And I can't be a shallow person and then expect to change other people's lives. Mm. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Mm.
But isn't that one thing to say it and another thing to live it, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Because sometimes you need that stab of humility to bring you back to life.
Mm.
Because it's one, people are like, oh, you know, and people, the world affirms beauty, right? Because they associate beauty with goodness.
Yeah.
So they'll always affirm how beautiful, the first thing people introduce you on stage, I'm sure, the beautiful, the this. They start off with the looks, then they go into the character.
Mm-hmm.
And to say to yourself that I need to be more than this, or when life forces you to be more than that, then you really have to rise up and say, what is my purpose on earth? Because clearly it's just not being beautiful, you know?
And I think there's a lot of people that see like points A and point B. You know, you are fat and then you post a picture of you being super skinny, like the then and now. But nobody sees the in between. Nobody sees the struggle. Nobody sees what you go through. And that's what I'm writing a book called Life Despite Lupus, and it's just highlighting the struggle, because people are so embarrassed to speak about it, you know, and they're like, yeah, I'm not really where I need to be. But then you've got to count where you come from.
We're talking about the struggle right now, right? Like,
you know,
being in the struggle.
Yeah, being in the struggle and like appreciating it, because I needed to appreciate my struggle in order for me to get out and look back and not hate the process, you know? And I'd written about it saying that it was useless walking for me because I had no direction. So there were times where I had to sit in my wheelchair and although I wanted to walk, I was like, but where am I going? What's the use I'm walking when I have no direction in my life?
That is very powerful.
That is dope. I actually want to talk about that struggle for a moment, because I think some people, like, they hear these things and they're not sure what we're talking about. Like, for example, lupus is a disease that literally your body is attacking itself.
Yeah.
Your immune system is attacking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You. So the doctors have to suppress your immune system, which means that you're susceptible to
anything.
Infections.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as, and they can never like up it again, because as soon as they up that immune system, then you just kill yourself.
Yes.
So you're always like in a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've got chemotherapy to suppress my immune system.
Wow.
So it's like I'm losing my hair, and lupus causes you to lose your hair, and lupus causes depression, and the medication causes depression. So it's like all these things, all these negative things that build up. But if you're not headstrong, you're not going to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all about getting your mind right.
But now you're walking.
Yes.
Now you've worn those heels.
Yes.
Where are you going now? I mean, what's the next, where's the next picture that you're seeing? What is that?
Being a life coach. This is why I wanted to be a life coach. Because there's so many things that I picked up in my struggle and in my journey that I'm like, this can help so many other people, you know? And it might be somebody that is struggling through a divorce. But if you're like, you just need to get your mind right. Getting your mind right changes everything.
Everything.
And so that's where I'm at now. Just helping people set the right goals. Goals that are going to change their lives. And then giving them options on how to achieve those goals.
Okay.
So that we all live good lives.
Yeah.
And we feel fulfilled at the end of the day.
Mm. And it's important to note that, you know, not everyone's going to go through your experience, but your story teaches people that I don't need to be dragged through such an extreme experience to change my life. And that's the power of a story.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we can't talk enough about how much comfort kills. Because I think as humans, right?
Definitely.
We always have this goal. And this is where I found that, not to put any network marketing companies down, but I used to go to a lot of the meetings.
Oh.
And they'd always say, don't you want to retire from your work or retire at 35?
Mm.
So we're looking to get to a point where we have all the stuff, especially material stuff, and then we can just sit.
Mm. Yes.
And I always kept asking, retire from what? Because I love what I do.
Mm.
So what am I going to be sitting around doing? I got all this money.
Yes.
I'm sitting around doing what exactly? You know?
Yeah.
And it's going to lead to your quick death, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because we die when we're too comfortable. So actually, like, for example, your struggle, because we all have our own struggle. Yeah. But your particular struggle, in many ways, has really helped you and shaped your life.
Yeah.
Imagine being a 24-year-old without that struggle, what direction your life might have taken. Maybe you might be doing something amazing, we don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you would never have had the tools you have now on learning how to overcome anything.
Yeah. That's true. Like, I write about things like this, you know, and I write about deep and meaningful things, but I didn't feel like I was connecting to it, like, on a personal basis. So, and back to what you're saying about comfort, like, where there's comfort, there's no progress.
Oh, no.
And I needed to drill that in my head because it was so uncomfortable getting out of that wheelchair and learning how to walk and wearing braces on my legs to stand properly, you know. And there were so many times where I gave up. And I want people to know that it's okay to give up. You know, I had 2 failed suicide attempts because I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I saw how my condition was tearing my family apart, and it was just too much for me to deal with. But, you know, going through that and then surviving it, and like, I remember waking up in ICU and the first thing I do is open my eyes and my mom's there, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm still here. But like, and, you know, she was there and she was still praying for me, and they were so supportive of me in the situation. I mean, other people would get cut off and their parents are like, you know what, deal with it on your own, because you don't want to deal with it, so you want the easy way out, you know. So after the second time, I was like, okay God, you know what, I'm here now, clearly you don't want me in heaven, so let me do what?
Really?
Turn
me back.
I'm like, rejection twice, my guy. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah. He's like that Nigerian boss. He's like, it's not your time. You're not coming in.
Definitely. Yeah. And a lot of people have seen me walking now, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky.
Oh,
and
luck.
I'm like,
luck.
And I was like, the harder you work, the luckier you become. Yeah. You know, and people need to realize that. And I mean, I'd stopped going to church for such a long time because people saw me in my wheelchair, and then they saw me using crutches, and then they saw me with one crutch, and then I go for chemotherapy and it pushes me right back into my wheelchair.
So it's like the miracle didn't happen.
Yeah. And then people are like, oh no, you're not praying hard enough. Oh no, your faith isn't strong enough.
Oh Lord.
And then they would base, and I got so frustrated, and I just snapped at a person in church one day, and I was like, you cannot base your faith on my physical progress because that's unfair on me, and it's unfair on you, and it's definitely unfair on God. Like, your journey is your journey, you know. And there were so many people that wanted to send me to prophets and whatnot, and I was like, no, like, I'm in the situation for a reason. And people think that, you know, if your faith is strong enough, that nothing will happen to you.
No, but things should happen overnight as well, right? Because if you have faith, then you are firstly always protected, number one. And number two, when you pray, things should just happen. What do you mean God takes time? Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
It means if you were praying hard enough, it would have happened yesterday.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so they do.
Also, because we see a lot of those prophets.
Instant
healing sometimes
prophets.
It does happen where people are healed instantly. But not everyone is healed instantly. And not everyone should be healed instantly.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Where's the lesson, right? Because that's what I'm saying. I think sometimes we look at pain and we look at painful moments in our life as punishment. But sometimes it's not punishment. Sometimes
the
universe,
it's never
punishment. Usually in the universe, it's saying it's time for you to wake up and redirect your life, because the way you're going, we cannot keep this going. You are not on your path, and if I leave you to be on this path, we are both not going to fulfill our purpose here. You know, so sometimes people need to understand that the reason maybe you remained in the wheelchair for as long as you did was so that you could come out the woman you have become right now, and so you can go and empower more people. You know,
no, definitely. Like, I'm really appreciative of my journey. And, you know, there's people like, oh no, you should throw your wheelchair away. No. it's part of me. It's become a part of my life and a part of my struggle. And every morning when I wake up and I see my wheelchair, I'm like, you know what? Thank you, God, that I'm
grateful.
Not in this wheelchair.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's appreciating those small things. Like, people think that you're supposed to take leaps in life, but it's just acknowledging the little steps that you've made. Any progress is progress.
Yes.
And people don't get that. They're like, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's got to be like a 12 in order for me to realize that it's progress.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do that, you push yourself so much further away from your goals and from, you know, the person that you're supposed to become. So
because you become disheartened.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening as quickly as people are saying it should happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And also learning about myself. I had to, like, literally learn about this. I call it a new body, because this wasn't the body that I knew, you know. But it's been the same body. It's just different. and I've got to make adjustments. And I mean, there's 25-year-olds that go and run marathons and then afterwards can go and go to the mall. And I've got to know my limitations according to how can I perform to the best of my ability without draining myself, because I get exhausted so quickly.
Yeah.
But I've got to pace myself according to me. And I've got to work according to my timeline.
Yeah.
Because if when you're in your early, well, mid-20s, all you want to do is, you know, oh, my friends do this, or my friends do that. But you've got to work on your timeline.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I was listening to a talk show, and they were saying that New York is, what, an hour ahead of LA?
Yeah.
No,
but
more.
No, it's more.
More,
yeah.
Too.
6 hours.
No, can't be 6 hours.
Yes.
Okay, whatever.
Okay,
yeah, that's ahead of
whatever.
LA.
It's yeah. the Atlantic yeah. Ocean.
But that doesn't mean...
The other one.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that LA is behind. You know, it doesn't mean that LA is delayed or that New York is fast. It's just working in your timeline.
Yes.
Obama retired at 55. Trump took over at 70.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just learning
about your
timeline and working within it.
Oh,
I love what you're
saying
now, because, you know, a lot of young people, especially because when I was, before I was 25, I had this dream. I was going to be a millionaire by 25.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What I was going to do with all that money, I don't know.
Retired. You know,
I was going to have this
30.
Amazing apartment, all these cars, and I saw my vision. That was fire. Yeah. You're right there. And thank God I didn't get the money.
Right,
because the third one was going to be the first one.
Yeah,
exactly. And I realized that I was really deeply disappointed with myself when at 25 I wasn't a millionaire.
Mm.
I got to 30 and I'm like, I'm still not
a millionaire.
Quite a millionaire yet. But what I realized was, you always get what you need at the right time.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So thank God when I look back, and when you're there, especially when you're young people, if you're listening right now, if you're a young person, you think that if I don't have certain things, if I haven't set my goals and haven't achieved them by that time, that means I'm a failure.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually, you're far from that. If anything, you're getting better at who you are and who you're supposed to be. If I was a millionaire at 25, I probably wouldn't be able to sit here with you guys and have this conversation. In fact, I realize how much we take for granted when we have much.
Yes.
More than when we don't. On Wednesday, I went for a jog.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that there were things I didn't see in my neighborhood when...
Oh, I saw that.
A year ago, well, less than a year ago, I was waking up a little bit later because usually I was like coming back from a night out, having had way too much to drink, probably hungover, and feeling sorry for myself most of the time, and living in that comfortable space.
Pain.
And I was comfortable with my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out there and I realized, you know, what getting out in the morning and doing this every morning does for me is it allows me to see the world around me in a way that I never saw it before.
Mm.
And right there and then I realized that all along I had been living the life that I dreamt about. You know, because sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
We drive around in nice cars, even if they're not ours. Like, think about it, right? We live in nice homes, even if we're living with our parents. We eat regularly and we eat really amazing food all the time. We travel. You've already been around part of the half of the world already, you know. And yet we walk around with this emptiness of, I still don't have enough. I still have not achieved my dream. If I had.
Yeah.
What I realized when I look back is that actually the life that I was hoping to live, being a millionaire, I had been living all along.
Wow.
From the time I was 25.
But that's a powerful realization.
Yeah.
And it actually makes me think of Paulo Coelho's quote. He said, life will test you in two ways, by having nothing happen at all or by giving you everything at once.
Oh, wow.
And I think that is very potent. And Steve Jobs also said that sometimes you just need to live your purpose and your path and trust that the dots will connect along the way, because when you look back, all the dots have connected and you're like, whoa, you know. But I also don't want people to think that complacency will get you to where you need to be. You still need to be living in your purpose. You still need to be chasing whatever it is that you have in your heart to pursue. And from that point, it's not going to be easy, because sometimes people are like, if I'm on my path, how almost it's easy.
Yeah.
No, it's actually the hardest path to travel.
Yeah.
It's easier than, you know, it's easier than not living your path, but traveling your path is really difficult. And you have to trust every step of the way that, ooh, something's got my back. I'm going to achieve this. Yeah. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my third point of the life lessons I learned at the gym.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I learned after going through that. I mean, I went through about, I'd say, 2 years of just being not at the gym.
Yeah.
Just putting on weight, drinking what I wanted.
Yes.
I did terrible things to my body, actually. Yeah. Confession time.
Self-hate.
Yeah. And I realize now that the more I do it, right, it started out really painful. But it's still painful, but it's a pain that I enjoy now. I realize that this is a gift that you give yourself, and you've got to decide every day what kind of gift you're going to give yourself, even though it might seem challenging or difficult, because it doesn't guarantee that I'm going to live to 100, but in the meantime, I'm going to live, for me, what is my best life. I feel so much healthier. I've got a lot more energy, especially when I'm playing with my daughter, than I had before. So I want to know, what is the gift that you decided you're going to give yourself going forward from now on?
Acknowledgement. Just acknowledging my success right now. And there's so many people that are like, you know what, I'm such a failure, and I failed in this and I failed in that. And it's not failure. There's no such thing as failure. It's just feedback. So what you put out there, and if you go and you write an exam and you don't pass it, you didn't fail. You are not a failure. You know, you are more than the titles. We are more than the titles that we give ourselves.
I love that.
So if you fail the exam, it's not failing. It's feedback that you probably didn't study the right thing, or you just didn't study enough. And as soon as people get that idea of failure out of their heads, they're able to do so many things. It's ridiculous.
Counting
what I do, and like giving myself the credit for it without being an asshole about it, but being like, you know, Joy, you did well.
Yeah.
And I don't need other people's validation for that. I need to validate myself, because other people chop and change all the time, you know, and if I base my life according to that, like, I'll be such a scrub.
Yeah.
So, counting and appreciating where I am right now and being 100% present in that moment. Because it's useless dividing yourself amongst 1,000 different things, but then you're not there. Then you're not living.
Yeah.
You know, so
in the moment.
Yeah. And for me to be limited to my wheelchair, that made me appreciate every little moment.
Wow.
Because everything counts. When last year, December, when I moved my toes for the first time, it was the biggest thing for me. And my brother was like, you're being so stupid. Like, you've been moving your toes since you were a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And having a sense of humor.
Yes.
Like, when I'm in my wheelchair, I sing like the craziest songs, like row, 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 you know? And when I'm going down a hill, I throw my hands up like I'm on a roller coaster, because it's my situation. It's my journey now, and I've got to live in it. Yeah. You know, I've got to appreciate
it. I love that.
So, yeah, counting.
And you, Candy?
Self-love. I think when you love yourself, you're not as critical on yourself, you know?
And on others.
And on others, exactly. Mm. So if you love yourself, you don't put expectations on other people to love you. You don't put expectations on people to make you happy.
Yeah.
You come in as a fulfilled human being into a space, and you control what you can control, and you let go of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I love acknowledgement. Yours is amazing, and I think self-love is all I'd add.
Yeah.
You'll see before we wrap up.
Well, I think you guys have I don't want to mess it up. You guys have done an amazing job. I think all of those, acknowledge yourself, self-love, and, you know, I don't know, maybe be kinder to yourself. I'm learning to be kinder to myself, which has got to do with self-love and acknowledging where I am in the journey, and understanding that it's a long process. And as much as it's a long process, I must just enjoy the journey, because it's just as important, if not more important, than a destination.
On that note,
we're out of here.
Bye.
Here's Big Sean. If you're feeling down, just bounce back, baby.
Hey. Last night took a L, but tonight I bounce back. CliffCentral.com